And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yep, yep, Frank's not there.
Fox and Friends in the morning, they're very honorable people.
Oh, are they? Yeah, it's his little Trump speaker doll here. All right, Frank, he said he's on his way. He was supposed to be on time. He'll be here directly. God, it's that doctor thing. You know, he wants to talk about the Captain Marvel controversy. Now, what's going on is the 8th, I think it is, and around the world, I thought they were kind of stretching it a little bit. What happened is all the movie theaters, when you go for March 8th, it shows no other pre-purchase of any ticket can be done other than Captain Marvel. It's just Captain Marvel. And you go, why? So when you do some checking, you find out that the theaters will have other movies up. You know, I can pull it up and see here if we can. They will have. There he is. He almost made it. You know, he just to surprise me, just out of principle. I mean, you know, just to show me wrong, just so I lose a bet. I mean, something. You would come in. What the hell? Anyway, the movies.
You're welcome.
The movies, when you go to different theaters, you put in AMC, you know, Arrowhead here, where we are. And I put in the movies here, and I go to the theater, and I look for March 8th, when this movie comes out. And I go, okay, I want to see a movie. You know, when do I want to see it? Today? No, it'll do the drop down here. And I go, I want to see March 8th. Now, let's see what they have. Okay, they do have other movies now. And last week, it would just show Captain Marvel all around the world. The movie theaters, they are definitely planning their life around the release of Captain Marvel, to the point that that was the only movie that they'd have on future dates, and then they would figure out their schedule later. Well, as a businessman, you know, as a restaurant owner, as a, you know, someone that goes by, you know, trends and how do you staff and how busy movies are and which ones you're going to put. I mean, you don't know until, you know, you don't know. You know, maybe a week before or something like that, you'll set the schedule, and it may change. Yeah, I changed it. You know, get over it. If you pre-sell tickets, though, you better have it. Well, what did they know? They knew that the agreement they made with the studios was how many theaters and how much time. Yeah, you're going to build your entire business around Captain Marvel. Get over it. That's what was going on, okay? So now you can go to the 8th, and you can see what other movies might be there. And the big cry is to go see Alita again, Battle Angel, because it is a cool movie. It's kind of the same genre, and you probably aren't going to get social justice over the head as much. And I liked Alita. It was cool. But it's more a protest, isn't it, Frank?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Are you a protester? You going to be protesting?
Well, you know, I don't like to be an activist and protest. I'm usually kind of low-key in my opinions, but no, I absolutely. So this is the best form of activism you could all do, which is, this weekend is in the culture war, and I know I'm probably going to be, seems like I'm overplaying it. It's almost as much of a hit as the 2016 election. I mean, nothing's going to beat that election with Donald Trump and the statement heard around the world. But, you know, it's been like 2 years brewing since then. Actually, this thing started a few years before that. But this Captain Marvel, the reason we're spending time on this, it's not about Marvel Comics. It's not about a damn movie. It's not even about the Marvel Universe, which, of course, they're tanking this too. This is such a larger issue that people are starting to find. You know, it's interesting where, you know, movie review sites are all talking politics now, and the political sites are all speaking about Captain Marvel. I mean, Ben Shapiro and Bill Whittle, and I mean, all these podcasts, Tim Pool, the Timcast, they're all discussing this issue because it's not about the movie. So, long and short, I want to say this probably every break, is if you want to make your voice heard as well and be part of this, A, boycott Captain Marvel, or as I like to call her, Captain Deus Ex Machina, which I'm probably saying it a bit wrong.
What?
Deus Ex Machina, they call it? Deus Ex Machina, Machina? I'm probably pronouncing it. I think it's Machina. You never heard that? French term? Deus Ex, I'll tell you what it is.
Please.
Bobby Ewing in the shower scene in Dallas.
Okay.
You remember that?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, now a lot of people don't. Dallas was a very popular in the 80s. I think it was 80s. 80s, it was Dallas, you know, with...
soap opera. It was
it was a evening drama kind of thing, and everybody wore really nice clothes, and everybody was all decked out and evening gown to answer the door at 9 in the morning kind of crap, right? Well, there were one popular couple is Patrick... what was that guy's name?
Patrick
Duffy.
Duffy. Yeah.
See, I can't.
Bobby Ewing.
Bobby Ewing. He was one of the brothers of the big empire.
Of J.R. Ewing. Everyone knows J.R.
J.R. wore the hat. He was the guy that played J.R. was the actor that played I Dream of Jeannie.
Larry Hagman.
Yeah, Hagman. Okay. So he was the evil guy who shot J.R. I mean, it was, you know, a TV phenom back in the day. Well, Bobby Ewing was gone. He died or something in one of the seasons. They wrote him off, didn't pay him enough, something. He's gone. Well, the ratings started to tank. People really liked that character. Victoria Principal was his wife in there.
Yeah.
So these are big stars back then. I know a lot of you guys, you don't know what the hell's going
on.
So, but what happened was, all of a sudden, it's the beginning of a new season. She goes into the bathroom. She's like, what? What's going on? And she woke up, and she goes in, and he's there kind of naked, you know, looking all buff, and, you know Patrick being...
Rub-a-dub-dub in there.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just here taking a shower. Well, the previous season, she just dreamed. Yeah. So it's like the previous season didn't even happen. We just got Bobby back, and it's all good, man. Victoria Principal and him and ratings, you know, hilarity ensued. So I'm just going...
So,
wow.
So that moment kind of defined Jump the Shark. You know, that's sort of a jump. Anyway,
right.
A Deus Ex Machina or Mechana, people say both. I think it's Mechana technically. It's a French term, and it pretty much, if you want, just pull it up real quick. It kind of means it's like from the gods. And so what it is, it's an extremely pathetic.
Okay, what am I looking up?
Deus space E-X space M-A-C-H-I-N. It's priority up, I-N-A. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell. Right.
It's the lexicon word of the day, Pee Wee Herman here. So basically what it is, it's an extremely pathetic, immature...
It's a motorcycle!
Pedantic kind of literary device when you don't know how to write stories. It's sort of like what a 10-year-old says. It's like, well, all this stuff happened. The bad guys are about to storm the castle. And the good guys are like, oh, my God, what can happen? And then... at the last minute, a giant dragon swoops down and uses his fire and destroys everybody. It's sort of like...
God from the Machine is a plot device whereby a seemingly unsolvable problem in a story is suddenly and abruptly resolved by an unexpected and seemingly unlikely occurrence, typically so much as to seem contrived. Yeah. Its function can be to resolve an otherwise irresolvable plot situation, to surprise the audience, to bring the tale to a happy ending, or to act as a comedic device.
There we go. Thank you. All right. That's pretty much what it is, and you see it in people like junior high school students or people currently in Hollywood screenwriting today. And it's sort of like you've created this problem. J.J. Abrams is a perfect example of this.
I don't know. That Dallas thing is a pretty good example.
No, it is a good one. But you
boom! It was a dream.
It was a dream. It's a whole season went away. You know, the God snapped his fingers.
We'll do it when we get back. Don't leave him hanging, okay? All right, we'll do it when we come back.
But that's Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel is this.
See? You're just going to say that and leave us hanging. How is it that?
We'll get a commercial.
We're going to find out when we come back. Dr. Frank Tamburi, Culture Wars, in just a little bit. from the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
You're listening to the best Liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
For a while, certainly, you know, Frank and I have, and what's happened is it's been all theoretical and behind the scenes and them just calling BS on the shenanigans being done by this and political campaigns and campaigns for, you know, economic BS, and then the news of when it's all part, it's getting to where it's all part of the same thing by the same people.
Yeah.
You know, and who's going to call BS on it? Who's finally going to, you know, maintain their credibility and, you know, audience and just say, yeah, the emperor be naked and got a little tiny weenie, okay? So, I mean, God, it says that, they're going after, which they have. And but there's so many of these people that have such big audiences on the social media. And you're wondering, is Disney going to go to Google and say you ought to curtail a bunch of YouTuber kind of? I mean, where does it stop?
Well, First of all, I got distracted, as I tend to at times. Where everyone's the movement is finally boycotting this movie, especially this weekend.
Who are we talking about?
It's called it's basically this collective of the proletariat of geekdom has all risen up. All these different websites that did special things. One guy does a website, a channel on YouTube on Star Trek. Another guy does one on Star Wars. Another one does it on Doctor Who. Another one does it on geek culture. Another one does it on video games. All these separate channels I've been following for years. They each just stick to their own little thing.
You know, I saw one shirt. It says the fan, F-A-N.
Dumb Menace.
Yeah, Fandom Menace.
That's created by a guy named Ethan Van Sciver. Ethan Van Sciver is the person I told you who he worked for DC, got kicked out and fired when they found out he was voting for Trump. They don't want Republicans, and he got fired for his political views. Ooh. And he decided to start his own channel just talking about the comic book industry. And his site exploded because he's really a wise ass from New Jersey. It's a great site. And they call him Uncle Ethan. Check him out, Ethan Van Sciver. And he started bashing on Star Wars or talking about politics and comic books and then Star Wars. And he became kind of the head person in some of this. And he began to unify all these different websites that I'm talking about. And they called it the Fandom Menace. And it's a collection or collective of basically the entire internet. It's the proletariat coming together. And each of these sites that talked about their own thing, you know, Star Trek people just want to talk Star Trek. Star Wars just about Star Wars. But as they started to realize is that the same techniques that the media was using were the same on each of them. By the way, Ethan Van Sciver, Ernie, as you're looking him up, he's the one I told you that decided to make his own comic book outside of DC and sold his first comic book, and he made $600,000 selling it through crowdfunding sites. He made just a comic book. He made over $500,000 on one comic book and blew the lid off of I mean, he shoved it up the you-know-what of all the liberals and leftists and comic book.
Oh, I mean, because of his artist ability, because that's what he did in DC Comics.
Yeah, he was already an artist. He got fired out. So basically he said, I just want to make a comic book without any politics. And the fans, the people who followed him, endorsed it. They followed him, just like you talk about. It's like wallet voting. That's what people did. And no one's buying Marvel Comics. We talked last week. Marvel Comics is about to go out of business.
Okay, now take a look at this. The audience, you see this? An error occurred. Press try again here. YouTube, something. This has been going on for the past couple of weeks. There's some YouTube funky thing. And it'll start, it'll come back, you know, but there's some weird crap.
Well, there was
going
a guy
on.
That did one of the first movie reviews from overseas, because this Captain Marvel is released overseas. It's through Midnight's Edge. Those of you that are geeks, Midnight's Edge is like the 60 Minutes of geekdom. It's the most respected site out there on YouTube, Midnight's Edge. And they were going to release the first spoiler review, and it was struck down doing a live podcast 2 days ago with a live copyright strike. That's never happened before.
Whoa.
Estonia.
Okay, wait. Start over again.
This is crazy.
Okay, say this. What?
The top movie review fandom site called Midnight's Edge was doing the first movie review of this, because the person that runs
of what? Of Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel.
Okay, just a couple of nights ago.
Just a couple of nights ago.
First review. They're doing live on YouTube.
Live on YouTube, because it was released in Europe first. That's why the reviews are coming in French and everything, and Americans are all using Google Translate to translate all the foreign reviews, and that was probably by design. Anyway, this guy winds up reviewing it, and pull up Midnight's Edge. You'll see. So it's a great review site, and they're very intelligent. They're not bloviators. They actually do hard hitting reporting. They do true sleuthing and research, and they're respected by the underground of Hollywood as well, that's trying to fight this. But anyway, they came out with their review, and it's a very, you know, calm review. But obviously Hollywood knows the Midnight's Edge, and it was struck down just as they were about to go into describing the movie itself after, 5 or 8 minutes into the live stream. The minute they start talking about the movie, it was suddenly taken off and wiped off with a copyright strike claim from Estonia. From Estonia, was it? I mean, it's just
copyright
like...
Copyright claim from Estonia. Now, these are guys that are doing it in Estonia.
No, they're not. Midnight's Edge is not in Estonia.
Okay,
they're
from
Scandinavia. They're from like he's from like Sweden or something.
Okay, so then just out of the blue, Estonia, Disney,
right.
Somebody,
there's the Disney side office in Estonia used their weight somehow to shut them down in Europe. I guess it was an EU, you know, agreement or something. So anyway, that just happened a couple of days ago. They took down the audience scores. I mean, Disney's doing everything to try to keep this movie on track. And it's failing. And the worst part is this movie really does suck, apparently. On top of all the reasons people are boycotting it, it really is bad. And so this is putting, I was telling Ernie off the air, this is putting the reviewers in a really tough spot. Because, you know, they have shilled for all of these leftist movies between, again, Star Trek, Doctor, you know, Last Jedi, we can go on and on. They've been shilling, and you can tell on Rotten Tomatoes. These movies have... It's like a Gillette commercial, these movies anymore. And then the critics, who all work for companies that basically pay, they don't get paid officially, they get paid in access. So they get advanced tickets to go to see the movies and review. Because in today's world, if you don't have the first review up, well, you know, you're worthless. I mean, you know, so in order to write for a newspaper, you need to be able to have access to the early reviews. Well, Disney only basically bequeaths you advanced tickets if they know you're going to give good reviews. So this is what the access media culture that's developed. Well, all of these movie reviewers, you could tell on these SJW movies, would give these movies 98%. Like Black Panther, 98%. Heck, it was up for an Oscar. I mean, Black Panther's like Ant-Man. I mean, yeah, it was all right. I don't really care to see it again. It wasn't Iron Man. It wasn't The Dark Knight, but they went for an Oscar. The critics gave it 98%, and the fans gave it like 30%.
Now, which movie was
this? This is like all of these SJWs. Yeah. Star Wars, Last Jedi. Yeah. And we've talked on this show the disparity, this massive disparity between the fans and the critics. And there's a rule of thumb now that since the critics lost all credibility, if the critics love it, it probably sucks, and vice versa. Well, now, to finish this up, the critics are in a tough spot because all eyes are on them now that Rotten Tomatoes has been exposed as the shill site. The critics are now finally being exposed as CNN was, and now they have to figure, do they give a good review or finally hold their credibility and say no to the mouse? That is the box that they're in.
No to the mouse.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Now, this is one thing we were talking about. A lot of good stuff. All right. This is what I want to get in this segment here. We got Disney's got an internal war going on. He's going to describe to us. And this is those of you that, I mean, you have this stuff now. I don't know what they call them. But in the 70s, they were called black exploitation movies. And then you had, the black woman exploitation movies, like Jackie Brown and stuff like that. We get homage from Quentin Tarantino for this kind of stuff. And it wasn't like they were exploiting, blacks doing Uncle Tom movies or any of that kind of crap. It was, they knew, it's like a Tyler Perry thing. They had a black audience, and they wanted to exploit that for revenue of we get them to go watch movies, and we have this segment of society, and we make money. We don't have to spend a bunch of money. It's a black exploitation movie, and it's a black wallet exploitation movie. That's what they were really saying. So now they got this femploitation movie. This feminist movie, they're going to get the women. Well, you got to keep in mind, all of this thought process and all this investment was done at a time when they were running Hillary Rodham Clinton for president.
Exactly.
This was all part of the same, we're sitting in the back room, the smoke filled, and this is going to be, it's like, we're going to have these superhero movies, they're going to build up over a decade, we're going to do this and build up to whatever is now, oh, and Hillary will be president, and they had it all mapped out.
Yep.
And it just totally went to crap. Now, one thing I did not, I want you to explain all that. Now, one thing that I did not know, is that this Brie What's-Her-Face, which is just unlikable.
Yeah.
But I think that she had, they IV'd her a couple of bags of Kool-Aid. I mean, they picked her not for, I don't know, whatever her acting abilities are. They picked her to be the face of this, super-duper female rule-the-world kind of thing. And, man, she had the right attitude, and damn Skippy, I'm going to whip ass. And she somehow has embraced the mythology of her character and thinking that that's real life or something. She has some power. And everybody's going,
save
what?
Women for men. And she goes, did you, while I'm talking, Ernie, pull up on YouTube. I want you to pull up, because we didn't even play it the last couple of weeks. And some of this audience might wonder what, aside from this feminist agenda in Disney, a lot of this is the actress herself. It's not just the movie. Put up Brie Larson insults white men. Just YouTube that. So she's been saying on her press tours that, you just have to watch and listen to her. She's like a valley girl. She's like mean girls.
White men? Assaults?
I know, dislikes white men. Just put down Brie Larson insults white men or something. I'm sure it'll come up. Just put videos.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about a white man has to say about, she was talking about Wrinkle in Time or something.
Yeah, it was a bunch of them. But just put the videos up. You can just see, if those of you who are watching the video, or just pull up, you can hear in her voice. It's like Mean Girls.
I don't want to hear what a white man has to say.
Yeah, but you just got to, when you hear her intonation, it's just, it's like listen to some snotty little brat high school student.
Yeah, no, I don't. And that's one of the comments a lot of these guys on YouTube make, is that she's just unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, she's an actress. She's been around, and I'm going, where have I seen her?
She was in a movie called The Room, which she won an Oscar. That's where she got her big paycheck. She won an Oscar. It's called The Room. It was about, it was based off of a true story, or maybe not, but it was about a woman who was locked in the basement by her father. You know, kind of one of these crazy stories where you hear like a daughter or a woman is locked in the basement. Well,
how old was she when she did this?
It was just a few years ago. She just won the Oscar. So she was in it.
Wow.
I heard it was a very depressing movie, and I didn't see it. If she did a half decent job, I don't know. But she is kind of like a daddy's little girl. Her parents were chiropractors, and so she had some money, not a lot, but her parents brought her out to L.A. and stuck her in really early on in the little beauty pageants and all of the little, like, you know, I want my little kid to become a movie star and be like the next Taylor Swift kind of thing. And her parents paid a lot of money for what a lot of tween girls did back in the late 90s, early 2000s, where they'd pay money to some, like, you know, out of work MTV guy to make movies and make little videos out of your daughter.
Right,
remember that
right.
little crap that people did? These really crappy videos?
Vanity videos.
So she had a bunch of those done for herself. So you get this little bit of an idea of where she's coming from.
Well, how old was she when she was a kid?
Yeah, when she was like a little 20.
Well, wasn't she the one with Tom Cruise in Day After Tomorrow or Tomorrow's Ed or Tomorrow's
no,
something?
No, that wasn't her?
No,
that wasn't her. So, anyway, you mentioned about Hillary Clinton. What many people have made the comparison to is that Black Panther, although it's a lot of SJW stuff in there, Black Panther was more like Barack Obama. Right, it was political. It was making a statement, but it was kind of like hip and cool enough to get by, and people kind of dealt with it. Whereas Captain Marvel's equivalent of Hillary Clinton, it's that difference of like that snarling. It's like Hillary Clinton when she goes, "Why am I not 50 points ahead? Why am I not 50 points ahead? I'll tell you." Remember that grinding? It's like your ex-wife yelling at you kind of thing. That's kind of what this movie is. It embodies it. So anyway. Marvel, the people who've been building up, the people who love comics, the people who've been drawing.
This has been going on for years.
It's been years. Well, it turns out.
I've been listening to Frank on this for years. We've done off
the
air
too.
Well, we've done some shows on it too, but this has been going on for a long time. And when we started doing the Trump Report, you know, three and a half years ago, it was, we started finding out how geekified he is. You know, I mean, as time would go on, I'm bringing in his Star Wars Darth Vader phone. You know, I mean, you know, it's just, so he's definitely in this. And the fandom menace has been growing from the beginning as part of the Brexit, Trump, you know, SJW. All this has been on the pop culture. Frank is right on the edge going, let me tell you what's up, and including the medical industry. And last night, did you go meet with Spendel?
Yeah, they're coming here. I found them.
Yeah, they'll be here today. How did you wind up meeting with them yesterday? What was up with that?
Well, because J6 saw me speak at the economic group.
Yeah.
And then he loved my talk because it dealt a lot with international politics and what's going on in Poland. Because Poland is a real key part to what's happening. I even know he was going to be there. He loved it, and then wanted me to speak to the international students who are all living through everything I talked about.
But where did you go? To like one of their homes?
Yeah, I went to their place down in Tempe. So
awesome!
Yeah, it was just a complete coincidence. They told me they're coming here today, so it was just kind of a little uncanny.
All right. So anyways, we've been doing this a lot. And to get a worldwide perspective from these guys is interesting, too.
Yes, it was great. And my mom was there, and she was almost crying when she left. She didn't realize just how, you know, she never was around a lot of foreigners like that.
And, how worldwide.
And young and worldwide and wise these older people are, more than Americans. She was really touched to see that. So, as far as the Civil War here, you know, just like there was Marvel Civil War, there was a Civil War within Marvel, because Marvel got to this level by not embracing SJW politics. Every other franchise has been doing this, but Marvel was headed by Kevin Feige. And Kevin Feige is a die-in-the-world wool geek. And they gave him this, you know, before Disney bought Marvel. And so he came with the deal with Marvel, and he's the one that created Iron Man and created this unified universe. He planned this entire 10-year thing out. It's like it was his plan, and it took off big time because he's a geek. He understood if you follow the source material of the comics, don't inject your politics into it, stick to the script, and it'll work. And it has. And
Iron Man was awesome.
Iron Man.
So that was the beginning of it, really.
That was the beginning. It was the first one, and then at the end of Iron Man had Samuel Jackson after the credits, the first post-credits scene where he goes, "This is the Avengers Initiative, and you're walking into a much larger world, Mr. Stark." And the fans basically had an orgasm in the theater because the people who saw Sam Jackson with the eye patch, that's Nick Fury. Now, you guys, you normal people didn't know who he was.
Oh, you normies.
You normies didn't know, but we just went, holy crap, because we knew what he was doing. Anyway, it's been 10 years
building
up. Well,
Marvel made a big deal out of staying in the theater.
Yeah.
till the end after the credits. They made you freaking wait. Every single one, you got to wait till the end to see what great. The hell
well,
is
I always
going.
Watch the credits anyway because I'm a geek. So they've been building this thing up, and then all the other franchises have been taken out by these feminists and these SJWs that the executives, who are usually white men, are afraid to fire. Because if you get a young black female running Star Wars now, you know, if you get rid of her because Star Wars is tanking, then they're going to call you a racist and a sexist and hit you with a Me Too movement if you wind up saying hi to one of your secretaries. So therefore, these executives are boxed in and they're afraid to let go of all these people that have co-opted their franchises. That's what's happening. Now, Marvel is the last one of the movie franchise. I mean, the comic division is about to go bankrupt because the feminists and lesbians,
from
I'm not just making this up, many, many lesbians have taken over Marvel Comics. Oh, we're past the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have your headphones
on.
No,
well, it's not working. It's not working. I can't hear anything.
Donna!
So, anyway, so they actually have a bunch of feminists, and some of them are lesbians, which I don't have a personal problem with, people, but they're running Marvel Comics. I mean, Marvel comic books are usually for young boys, right? They play out their fantasies with being Spider-Man and this and that. If you have feminist women and some that maybe are lesbians writing the stories that you little boys are trying to read, that doesn't quite work. And you wonder why they're going out of business because no one's buying these things. Well, Marvel movies are the last bastion of holding this together. And that is why this line is being held over this Captain Marvel, because at the very end, at the last moment, not only is this feminist fly in and save the universe, but the entire Marvel franchise, the last place of hope for geeks that want any kind of no SJW politics, is about to be ruined. So, to finish this up with the Civil War, is that the Kevin Feige's probably, we don't know who, but the people that helped design this Marvel Universe know that Captain Marvel is going to destroy this franchise. And supposedly there was a Civil War within Disney. And the higher-ups, whoever's in charge, said, you are going to put feminism in there, and you're going to, you know, because we haven't had any real women in there, and we have to beat Wonder Woman, and we have to prove that we're woke and go woke. And
now, wait a minute. Is this a, you know, not just an agenda, but they're using Wonder Woman as an example to justify them doing this?
Yeah, or some of it. I mean,
Wonder Woman was
a popular character.
Yeah, it's a popular character. You know, one of my granddaughters, she's all Wonder Woman'd up, and I'm sick of this, you know, freaking superhero crap. You know, more trinkets and trash, you know, plastic from China kind of crap. But she's all Wonder Woman'd up. Our kids look at these superheroes, because I have so many grandkids. Each one's got their own thing. Mm-hmm. One's Captain America, one's Iron Man, you know, one's Wonder Woman, Spider-Man. They're picking their favorites, and some of them they interchange every Halloween. I mean, you know, they pass down costumes, whatever. Well, and then of course Disney princesses and all that crap. So Disney has a lock on the next. Now DC is different. I don't like DC generally because they're just, I mean, literally dark. I mean, they don't light the set. For some reason, you know, the brightness of the actual movie is like I'm at night all the time. I'm like, what the hell is up with that? You know, but the big thing is Wonder Woman, when she came out, I remember the series as a kid with Linda Carter. You know, she was a good, upstanding kind of, you know, I didn't get the impression, yeah, I got a strong woman, yay. Yeah. When my kids were growing up, Gina Davis and Long Kiss Goodnight, I really liked that movie. It's kind of a, you know, James Bondy action flick with a strong woman character, because I hate to go on without me. I can't. No, please, leave me here. You know, kind of, and I hate that. All the movies, when I was a kid, they always portrayed the woman as weak, as just, so when Laura Croft comes out and kicks ass, Gina Davis, like, I appreciate that. I appreciate a strong woman character.
Well, that's why everyone's going to see Alita. Alita is a strong female character, but the feminists are saying it's anti-woman.
Because it's not anti-man.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what the difference is. And Wonder Woman was not anti-man. She was just like, you poor men, you need some help. Yeah, I'm just here because I can.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm cool with that. You know, I didn't have a problem with that.
By the way,
we're coming back.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Dr. Frank, he's going to explain it to us now. You go to the live streaming on freedomsphoenix.com. You can see live streaming there, and then we're streaming on, I don't know, everything else, Facebook, the live, YouTube, whatever. And we're getting, yeah, we're still finishing up the stuff. When we come back from Maine, I leave tomorrow night to go back to Maine with Derek for a week and a half. By the time we get done, we're going to have lots of stuff done. The SJWs, yeah, whatever. We don't care because we're in space and you're not invited. Well, here comes Captain Marvel is going to fly up there and kick my ass. But, you know, so this is the internal war. What we were talking about during the break and so on, I have a couple observations. One, you know, this femploitation, feminist ploitation film is what they're counting on. And they had to plan this so long in the past, they just anticipated certain things would happen that didn't happen.
Right.
So now they're screwed. And there's an internal battle and war, and this, it always comes out in the wash, you know, one way or another. But I'm wondering, does Captain Marvel have her version of kryptonite? Does she have any weakness? Is there something that they can do?
No, that's the thing. And this movie reviews are already out. You guys can read the whole
Universal
spoilers.
Galactic Mary Sue.
She's just the ultimate Captain Mary Sue. And that's, I mean, it. And the thing is, people like us could smell this a mile away. And, you know, the defenders are saying, oh, you guys are just hating women. No.
Mary Sue character is where, for no training, no nothing, they're just magically, you know, have all these skills, and I go kick ass.
It's another very immature literary device. So when you take the Mary Sue and a Deus Ex Machina, and you combine them, that is what Captain Marvel is, to shove this agenda. And the people at Marvel, and I was explaining the background on the break a little, but the people at Marvel keep the feminists and the women who've taken over in Marvel Comics keep pushing this character. They have rebooted this character 8 times in the last like 10 years. They keep forcing this character. It's like if you create a superhero called Sloth Man, you know, there's someone that dresses as a sloth and he moves really slow and he goes,
the Tick!
It was all, or the Tick, right? And like, and then nobody buys the comic and you go, oh, I guess we got to repackage him. So we're going to change Sloth Man's costume and make it red instead of black. And then he still walks slow and no one buys the comic. And you go, well, I guess we got to change. All right, we'll make Sloth Man black this time and then we'll put him in a purple costume and then we'll reboot it, and people still don't buy it. At some point, there's something wrong with the character. Well, that's what Captain Marvel has been. It's not about her being a woman. I mean, people want a female character. They wanted Scarlett Johansson for her to do a Black Widow movie. She should have had her movie. She was a great,
well, she's
great
getting
character.
One, isn't she?
No. For in the Marvel Universe, she's supposed to have a Black Widow movie. They never gave it to her because she has such an
interesting character.
I heard
that she was getting a movie. Scarlett Johansson's not getting a movie?
No, not in Marvel. There's no Black Widow movie. What are you talking about?
What?
She should have been. We have a strong female character right there that she should have been in. But instead, Marvel's saying, the first female character in Marvel, we have to push it. So anyway, so this Civil War has been going on. Marvel Comics, they're always about to be bankrupt because no one's buying the comics, and the women took over the comic book industry. Now, the movies are based off of the comics, so therefore Marvel's trying to change the comics so that in a generation, those kids grow up to be adults, and the next Marvel movies then can be all these SJW movies. That's the plan. So they put everything on Captain Marvel.
Black Widow movie reportedly being planned for 2020.
Yeah, well, they're saying this is coming out now. Ernie, this is a psyop. You got suckered. Every time these movies come out and they're about to tank, the companies distract you from the movie you should be paying attention to, which is Captain Marvel, and they always put out these fake news articles to distract you. So like when the new Star Trek came out and the ratings were bombing, the minute the new Star Trek comes out and everyone hates it, they come out and they say, oh, don't worry about that. The new Picard series, we're making a new Star Trek series with Picard. Isn't that exciting? And they do that to give a bump in the interest. This is just a lie because the fans are saying, we hate Captain Marvel. Give us Black Widow. They haven't done it. They've pushed this Captain Marvel. And now that it just came out and the reviews are tanking, this news item comes out.
They said she signed a $25 million deal.
Yeah, for now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean it's going through. I'll bet you this article just came out the last couple of days. I guarantee it.
Well, this was January, end of January.
Yeah, well, they knew this thing was tanking. So anyway, so Marvel, what's left of Marvel Universe in the movies, let me just finish this point. I keep getting off it, is there's a civil war going on with it. The people who've designed this universe know Captain Marvel's a bad character, and it's going to sink the franchise, especially if you put the entire franchise on this character and she's going to swoop in and save everything. It's done. I mean, they know it. But the higher-ups at Marvel or Disney are saying, no, we're a bunch of women, and we have to go woke, and we're going to put this in, and Captain Marvel's going to be the next Iron Man. You men are going to love it, and you're going to force to and use our Gillette razors when you prepare to see the movie. Anyway, so supposedly it broke out at Disney, and word on the street is that in order to solve this disruption, they allowed the resistance to film an alternate ending to Endgame. Endgame is the movie this whole thing is leading to that comes out after Captain Marvel. It's the last movie of this entire 10-year franchise, and that supposedly they filmed an alternate ending without Captain Marvel, or at least not without Captain Marvel saving the day, because the people like myself know it's going to destroy it. So the budget went up even higher because they had to pay for another alternate ending. So we shall see whether or not that's true or not, because now that this is an absolute failure, there's no question about it. The reviews are already 83% from the shill critics. The top critics on Rotten Tomatoes, not that I care about them anymore, the top critics, which is a subset of the general critics, and most of the general critics are all shills for like Disney-controlled or influenced media, you know, like Vice and this kind of thing. Well, the top critics, let's say at Time Magazine, who still have somewhat of a reputation, they now are finally being forced to diss on this movie because it's that bad. They can't have any integrity left if they defend it. So the top critics are at 61%. Right, 61. It's a hair's breadth of being a splat, and the audience scores have not even started yet. And the boycott is starting this weekend, and everyone's going to see Alita to pop those numbers up. This is a weekend to watch in the culture war that we keep talking about. The line has been drawn on this stupid
fandom menace.
This is not about this movie. This is the culture version of the Donald Trump election is what's going on this weekend.
Yeah, you know, that's a good way of putting it. You know, this is one thing, you know, Bilderberger, they're all freaking out. How do we deal with this populist rising up if we can't control them? Damn it, they don't have their, you know, plug in the back of their head matrix thing. All right. Now, we're looking at 19 here, Captain Marvel, March 8th. Now, this is the release schedule for Marvel, looks like, and Disney. Captain Marvel comes out March 8th. Avengers 4 is like 2 months later, okay, in May, early May. So May 3rd, here comes Avengers 4, which is the end game, which is part of the Captain Marvel going in. We'll see what happens there. Then next year, July, is Spider-Man the Homecoming sequel. That would be popular. You know, Spider-Man, you know, that new kid, they're liking him. May 1st, 2020 is probably a Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Then August 7th, 2020, they say possibly a Black Widow. This would be...
Possibly.
Possibly.
I knew it.
Scarlett Johansson. Well, we'll see.
Oh, God.
Then November of 2020, Doctor Strange 2, you know, maybe. Unannounced Marvel movie in 21, possibly a Black Panther 2. Untitled Spider-Man Homecoming 3, summer of 21. Unannounced Marvel movie late 21, probably Ant-Man 3. Captain Marvel 2, early 2022.
Yeah, we'll see on that one.
2022.
Yeah, we'll see.
Then Avengers 5, summer of 22. Possibly Secret Invasion or Secret Wars, whatever the hell that is, we'll ask Frank. And then unannounced Marvel movie in 22, likely a new franchise, okay, of God knows what, Fantastic
this
Four.
This entire thing you just read is going to be re-scripted or redone after this Captain Marvel. Now, some of them are still in production, like the new Spider-Man and all, but the direction of this new phase of Marvel movies is all hinging on this weekend, on this movie, and whether the fans finally stand up and say no, or not just the fans, but just the culture.
When do they start clearing house at Disney? You got to wait for billionaire tech guy to buy them or something? I mean, you know, what, you know,
it Disney's cleans house when the shareholders enough say enough is enough. No, it's happening, Ernie. It's happening. The wallet voting works. Do it this weekend, guys. Take your family, go see Alita, or if you absolutely want to see this damn movie just to see how it leads into Endgame, I can't sanction this, but many people I know are going to the theaters on like an off time, and they're buying a ticket to Alita, and maybe getting lost on the way to the theater and seeing a different movie, certain movie. So if you want to, so there are as many ways for activism to show your vote this weekend, guys. The culture war is this weekend. Please be part of it. It's a fun time. Alita's pretty good. James Cameron, can't lose.
All right. No, I saw Alita, you know, within a few days of it coming out. I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. You know, was it a Marvel movie? I don't know. What's a Marvel movie anymore? Yeah, we're going to find out. Captain Marvel! All right, stick around, man. We got some people around the world.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.